Welcome to the CX, AI, and Outsourcing Podcast, a show about the people, technology, and economics that are shaping the customer support industry. My name is John Walter, and this week we have a conversation with Bradley Metrock. Bradley is a general partner at Project Voice Capital Partners, which is a venture capital firm focused on the conversational AI industry. He also leads the annual Project Voice Conference and hosts the podcast This Week in Voice. If you'd like to connect with Bradley or learn more about the VC fund, conference, or podcast, check out the links in the show description. Without any further delay, let's get started. So Bradley, when we first met at over lunch a few weeks ago, it sounds like your origin story in the conversational AI space began with Alexa. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. So that's where my interest in voice AI, conversational AI more broadly began. I sort of got acclimated to the idea of humans talking to technology, and I realized that that's the inevitable destination for our interaction with the technological world around us. Then it became just a matter of educating myself as much as I could on how that works and meeting as many people who are already working in that domain as I could. And so that was the genesis of the podcast, the newsletter, a lot of consulting work I did, the conference, several different conferences we used to do all around different industry verticals. A lot of things sprung forth from that. And now that extends well into our venture capital fund as well.
That's very interesting because you were an entrepreneur before that. You were successful at starting a company, selling a company, and it was totally unrelated to this space. And so you must have saw a glimmer of something special and what you call now is the inevitable destination. It's very interesting because in the conversational AI space today, there's several people I've come across who are thought leaders who appear to have their origins traced back to Alexa. They really just become inspired by Alexa. And it seems that often they are viewing the large language model landscape through a prism of their Alexa experiences. It's almost like, almost in a negative way, if I might say that in some respect, because what I've heard before is people saying, hey, listen, we had all of these high expectations for Alexa that didn't pan out. And so let's not get too hyped up about large language models because it's, you know, we've been through this before. But I think the way you describe it is very enheartening to me because I really enjoy hearing it because there was a glimmer of a remarkable future of what this type of technology could do that you had at a very early stage. And it's possible we're just now reaching the point where the software application is catching up with the initial vision for the hardware application.
Yeah, I think that's right. So you touched on a number of things there. I mean, with Alexa, for as successful as Alexa was, as measured by our mainstream consciousness, Alexa dominated discourse within our technology circles for years. For the number of devices that they sold over 100 million devices here in the United States alone. For how radical a device it was, you know, seemingly coming out of nowhere. For how it changed the trajectory of a lot of what Amazon did and how it got Amazon thinking very differently about everything from AWS, how its own digital commerce, where it all started for them, where that's headed. It changed everything for that company. For all of these things, there's this lingering feeling like Alexa didn't do enough. And we can thank our media for that. The media has created that portrayal, which is largely inaccurate. Alexa took us a long, long way, and it started to bash up against ceilings of other bottlenecks around it that prevented it from being what everybody wanted it to be and for it addressing every concern. So all in all, I view it as very successful, and I think there's a lot of evidence and data to support that point of view. Along comes large language models, and that is such a complementary piece to voice assistants that now, and moving forward into the next 2, 3, 5 years, we're going to see radically evolved voice assistants that enable us to have conversational interaction in a much, much different, deeper, more context-driven way than we ever thought. So really, I guess one way to view it, and I think this will be the ultimate way of viewing it, is there was kind of a pause. Alexa kind of plateaued with where it was heading on its own. And now that LLMs have showed up, the pause is over and the upward trajectory is now continuing. I think that ultimately will be how a lot of people look at it.
Yeah, very well put. As a consumer, Alexa is both, we use it all the time. I mean, especially when the family's together in the den, we're playing music, asking it questions. This morning, my wife was asking it, what are the health benefits of radishes? And then we're, it's playing our favorite music as we're eating breakfast as a family. I mean, it's just, it's ubiquitous. But then there's this constant frustration that consumers are having with Alexa that seems to be attributed just to the conversational experience. And that is a feature that I believe can be smoothed out remarkably with large language models. Have you experimented with any or had any exposure to next generation Alexa as to what they might be doing with this?
Not outside of the demo that they showed during their recent Alexa event that was like 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, fairly recent. I have had hands-on experience with what I would call next generation voice assistants, though, that some smaller companies are creating. And it doesn't take long to see some of what's possible with that to understand what Amazon would be capable of doing with Alexa. And I think the challenge for them is going to be rebuilding the ecosystem of third-party partners that they once had with Alexa that is sort of eroded, but rebuilding the right partners around the voice assistant, given its new functionality and this new chapter we're in, to support what people want to do.
Yeah, I'm very interested in the topic of hardware going forward and how large language models have the potential to shape what hardware will look like in our electronic devices. There are reports of Sam Altman and I believe Johnny Ives, I think that's the correct name, who is a prolific designer at Apple Computers, that they're collaborating in talks to collaborate with major investment from SoftBank to develop hardware that is specifically tailored to large language model interaction. So between humans and large language models. That's fascinating. And I'm wondering if you have any opinion on Alexa as a simple voice device as compared to Alexa with a screen attached to it. Do you think it's going to start shifting more towards the screen based on how large language models have been operating so far? And also just looking at the plugins that, so ChatGPT has been implementing plugins for its premium service. And it seems that, at least from my experience, that the plugin or app feature for Alexa was always a little difficult to navigate. You're either having to go through the app on your phone or just trying to talk. I ask it to make animal noises for my kids, and then it asks me to subscribe to the animal noise or and pay for the animal noise app. Do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, from an ecosystem point of view, I think that that is the number one thing that Amazon fell short on in round one. In the opening chapter of the Alexa novel, there was a lot that they did well. They did a good job sort of creating gravitational pull to bring in third-party partners. But then in terms of the execution on how to deploy them and how best to position them within the ecosystem, I think they fell short. And part of it was that they were just lacking some of the basic functionality that we have now. So I expect all of that to improve. The question on hardware is a good one. I think that there's obviously a lot of opportunity with hardware of different types that will leverage conversational AI as it's been constituted. And it's just a matter of what human imagination and ingenuity is going to bring us. I will say this, there's two things that I'm following. The first one is that chips, you know, silicon. I think that the innovation necessarily needs to start there in terms of what becomes possible from a device point of view, and it's already well underway. So there's already numerous companies that are working to create chips that optimize for voice AI, for chat, for conversational AI as a whole, for multimodal, different aspects. And I expect that to continue. And that's a big driver of what's to come with devices. The other thing is that there's sort of this sense that the smart speaker was this brief moment in time, and Echo ushered in the Alexa era, and the need for smart speakers that don't have a screen or that are just audio only is somehow less. I am disagreeing with that point of view on a daily basis at this point. I think that the smart speaker is going to have a renaissance all its own. And I think that that maybe is a separate conversation. And I think that there will be some surprises there. But all in all, I think hardware is an untapped frontier that we're going to see a lot of people be very successful in innovating within.
I agree 100%. But ever since ChatGPT first came out, my thought has always been that the greatest beneficiaries of this are going to be the hardware companies, because a lot of our interface with companies, so when a customer goes to a company, they're looking for a product or service, and they go to websites, they call phone numbers, they do all these things simply to transmit data, simply transmitting data between a business entity and a consumer. The consumer doesn't care what the operations look like on the inside. They don't care how big the customer support team is. They don't care about cultural values in most cases. Even if they say they do, it's not a driving factor. You know, there's most people just go with the products and services that suit them and their families the best. And whatever device can get that data to the customer the easiest, it's going to win. It just makes so many things obsolete. And so it's really the hardware players. If software becomes so capable of just communicating with a human, and then it's the hardware players are able to harness this technology. I'm just envisioning Apple, for example. I think Apple is going to have a chance just to knock it out of the park, where they are just going to be able to integrate. So companies, this way I'm just kind of envisioning from the customer support perspective, because that's the world I come from. Companies being able to make their data accessible to large language models in a way that is safe and reliable, then any hardware company can seamlessly just plug in, extract that data, and use it through an API. And all of a sudden, consumers can ask any question about their products and services and just get immediate answers. I know you look at this from a very broad perspective of beyond just customer support. So I really appreciate your insights on the entire industry. It's very interesting what's happening.
Well, customer support, the whole idea of customer experience is on the march these days, right? And I think that it's important for companies that have contact centers that touch a lot of customers on a daily basis to realize that, to not get so caught up in what's right now, but rather keep your eye on what the trend lines are. Because if you're focused on right now, you're going to be too invested in ChatGPT and LLMs. LLMs have got their place. They're not going anywhere. They're only going to get better and better. But if you only focus on that, even though that has been transformative in a lot of different contexts, certainly including the contact center and customer support. But if you only focus on that, you're not going to be as prepared as you could be for really the real story, which is that the way we even think about customer experience is forever going to be changed. The staffing, what it means to satisfy a customer, what it means to answer questions a customer has, what it means to create a website that engages with them, and what it means to provide different typical touch points that will serve their interests. It's all changing. So it's an exciting time. ChatGPT is cool and everything, don't get me wrong, but it's like there's a revolution happening that's going to take another 3 to 5 years to really get us where we're ultimately going. But for the moment, it's exciting because companies are already at this nascent stage able to serve customers better than ever before. They're able to be more efficient and more insulated from labor instability than ever before. There's already a lot of good outcomes that we've seen.
Two interesting things you said is, one is to keep eye on the trend line and where things are heading, but then also, hey, you know, ChatGPT is awesome, but maybe there's some caveats there. It appears there's some caveat in your voice. Can you elaborate on what you see the trend line to be and the role of large language models in shaping that trend line?
Yeah, I can. So let's look at restaurants. Let's look at fast food restaurants, that sort of end of the spectrum. So what we're seeing now is a lot of experimentation with restaurants that have a drive-through. They're implementing LLM-enabled voice AI solution into the drive-through. And what are they discovering? For the most part, they're discovering that these solutions get the orders right that human beings present to them at a much higher level. So much so, an entirely new door has opened. And that new door is called upselling. So when a customer goes through a McDonald's drive-through, just to single them out, I'll just speak for myself. I'm not thinking, what unexpected business can I give you today? Rather, I'm thinking, can I get out of here without you screwing up my order? So all of my effort and mindset is at a very base level with my interaction with your business, because I know your business well, and I know that you have problems on occasion executing to your expectations or mine. with voice AI, conversational AI infused into that business, specifically in the drive-through, it can affect a lot of other parts of the business. I'm only talking drive-through here and the ordering, the commerce part. When I drive up to a restaurant now, and I know that the order, it could be a human, it could be a human in the loop, it could be AI with a human listening, and if it gets it wrong, it could just be totally AI, it doesn't matter. Nobody's advocating necessarily for the total replacement of humans. I'm just saying these tools make the experience better. When I drive up to that business now, and I know that they're going to get the order right, my mindset is different. I'm not worried about the worst outcome anymore and avoiding it. Now I know you're going to get it right, and I don't have to be spending that mind share on trying to steward you in the right direction. So now I'm open to the possibilities. I'm open to being upsold. You want to get this? You want to try that today? Because I know you're not going to mess that up either. So when you look at restaurants and just how the simplicity of what technology has brought to a very targeted part of that business and the doors that that one thing has opened, you start to extrapolate that out across different aspects of a business's operations and especially any touch point with the customer, the end user. And it doesn't take being all that smart to realize that there's a lot of change, a positive change that will occur in time.
Yes. One more interesting aspect about the drive-through example is that I've read, funny to say it, but it's allegations, because they were allegations in a complaint about how these things operate. But that's how I learned about it. So I read allegations that they are taking the data from individual customers on their purchase preferences. So maybe they tried a certain product at a different location down the street a week ago, and they come and they order something else, and they can maybe tag on, like, hey, would you like to order this also? Or maybe on the menu, they can have it present on the screen in a way that is customized to that customer based on the prior experiences. Allegedly, that's done with a combination of a license plate numbers and with voice print data.
I like that. I'm that guy that rolls into a restaurant. I know exactly what I'm going to get every time. I'm going to order the same thing every time. So there's no need to show me a long, voluminous menu. You know what I mean? Like, that is a total waste of everybody's time. So there's a lot of opportunity in what they call personalization. And specifically, as far as restaurants are concerned, menu personalization is something that companies are already experimenting with now, with how AI can help with that. Because again, it's all about opening new doors and upselling. Like, if I know, and this is higher end restaurants now, you know, that are more fixated on this and experimenting with it. But if I know that I walk into a restaurant and I know that you know what I order, we don't have to cross that bridge. And you don't have to show me the same 20-page menu that you show everybody else. You can just put one page in front of me that says, hey, we know what you're going to get. That's fine. But these five or six items right here, we just want you to know that for people who order this, that, and the other that you always order, they like these five or six items. So you might want to experiment trying with one. What's the likelihood that I do that? High. So it's just a different mindset. That is the bottom line, ultimately, is that these AI tools and frameworks and systems have crossed the inflection point of being so useful and worthwhile that they've changed the fundamentals of a lot of how the related businesses operate.
Yes. And I love the point about how it improves the customer experience. That's a big deal in our industry. I think a lot of the AI vendors came in swinging at cost, and they're forgetting that the main people that they have to get through to sell their technology are the CX leaders, are the people who are obsessed with serving customers well. Cost is always important, but that comes further up the food chain, usually. And so this is always the winning strategy. If you can position a technology as increasing the customer experience and decreasing costs at the same time, it is a no-brainer. Bradley, that's awesome, man. Well, when it comes to your VC fund, can you just talk briefly about the types of companies that you are currently most interested in based on the trend line? And I ask this question because I have several friends in the startup community, very, very talented young people who are pivoting into the customer experience space out of different spaces. They just see a lot of opportunity here. And so I'm wondering if you could just share some insight where you could see the greatest opportunity for young engineers to deliver the most value in this industry.
Yeah. So with Project Voice Capital Partners, our job is to identify and invest in top-tier early-stage conversational AI companies. We're industry agnostic, so we look at everything from banking to healthcare to hospitality to automotive to media and entertainment, whatever else. One of the things that we have seen repeatedly is the need for entrepreneurial discipline and focus brought to the customer experience realm is a perfect example, because inevitably what happens is you have engineers, like we see this a lot of times, you have engineers that realize that they can create some sort of product or service that is AI enabled that augments the customer experience. Okay, well, that's fantastic. How are you going to overcome the incredible noise in the marketplace to get that out in a sustainable way? We've seen a lot of people try to do it. In our opinion, the best way to do it is through niche focus on one industry vertical. So let's say I've got a solution, a contact center solution that improves ability to service customers calling in by phone. That business and its prospects for success skyrocket if that is focused on banking or if that is focused on healthcare, rather than what we sometimes see, fortunately, where entrepreneurs will come in and they'll say, well, why don't we just do it all? That is a trap. And this technology will seduce you into thinking that you can go conquer the world, when the reality is that there's way too much competition and the world's moving way too fast. Narrowing down the scope and the focus of your technology, your product or service, and really getting it niche, there's an art to that. And those are the people that we want to be playing with, because the other part of this equation is that with conversational AI and the way that this relies on our human language, our humanistic interaction, it's hard to get it right for one industry, much less four. Every industry has got its own jargon, its own vernacular, its own nuances and particularities. Solving for those and specifically attacking and relentlessly pursuing those is where the venture grade gains are. To try to do that and create these conversational solutions that span multiple industries, given all of the particular nuances of each industry from a language point of view, it is defining of an entrepreneur not knowing what they're doing to even hear them contemplate that. There's always exceptions to every rule. There's always things that might be different, but as a general practice, focusing on niche, you know, narrowing down the focus and having the discipline to maintain that is a big positive.
Agree 100%. And I've heard that stated by other influential people that I admire in this industry. And one of the companies that I think is a good example of focusing on a very narrow problem and taking this remarkable technology to find innovation, it's called Infinitus Systems. Have you heard of them before?
No.
Fascinating. I did a podcast episode with the founder, which published on yesterday, and they focused very narrowly on benefit verification calls between doctor's offices and insurance companies. And the way I learned about this technology is that I talked with my friend who was leading automation at a major health insurance provider in the US. And he was just telling us that they are getting hundreds of thousands of calls from this robot named Eva. And the Eva is efficiently gathering information and updating the CRMs and whatever portals that the doctor's offices have. And the healthcare provider had humans on the other side engaging in these conversations, which on average, I mean, I think they're like a half hour long. You know, there's a long calls. And my friend calls Infinitus and says, hey, listen, it's amazing what you're doing. If you're doing it, maybe we can do it on our end. Just tell us the data you need and we will try to port it over to you. And they tried and they couldn't. The health insurance provider was just too outdated. And so their data was too disorganized and in different formats. And so it goes on today. And it's estimated that every single health insurance person who works in the call centers that handles these types of calls has interacted with this bot now, and or voice assistant, I should say. I think it's just one of the most innovative and creative use cases for conversational AI. And what's really interesting is that the company has a goal of standardizing and automating the transfer of data between all of the big players in the healthcare industry, the pharmaceutical companies, the physicians, the patients, the government sponsors, the employer sponsors, just creating a seamless process. And they're using conversational AI as a stepping stone to get there, which is just a very, very, very interesting use case. So I see them as a form of inspiration for entrepreneurs who are enamored with this technology. But to be able to cross that bridge and to find a niche to be able to focus on, you need more than just engineering talent. You need industry knowledge. You need to deeply know what's going on. And the founder of Infinitus, he was working at Google when they first came out with Duplex, which was making calls to restaurants and spas to schedule times for customers to go in. And his wife was working in healthcare. And she was like, hey, you know, this is remarkable technology, but look at this problem, right? You need that bridge. And so this is an opportunity for not only the engineers, but also in our industry, the customer support industry. There's so many people who are afraid of losing their jobs. So many people who are like, oh my goodness, I've been like working a decade to build up in this career. I'm leading this customer support team. And now there's all these robots doing these crazy things. You are at the person, if you're listening to this, you are in the prime position to jump on the bandwagon because the engineers need you just as much as you need the engineers to put something like this together and take it to market.
People who are deeply experienced and joyfully embracing continuous improvement in their job, they're not going anywhere. They're desperately needed. It's people who, you know, maybe they were in customer support, they didn't like it or constantly had one eye over here looking to leave or stuff like that. They have a lot to worry about. But the people who are focused on improving themselves and really passionate about the field that they work in, AI is going to be there to augment you, not replace you.
Absolutely. Well, Bradley, I've exhausted all the time. I have allotted on your calendar. We will continue this another time. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. And if anyone wants to reach out to you, what do you have a preferred means of contact?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Bradley Metrock. You can hit me there or just Bradley at pvcp.vc. So that's Project Voice Capital Partners, pvcp.vc. You can reach me there as well.
Awesome, Bradley. We'll talk soon.
John, it's been an honor. Thank you for having me.
Special thanks to Bradley Metrock for having this conversation, and thank you for listening. If you are an entrepreneur who's building technology in the conversational AI space, definitely reach out to Bradley using the links in the show description. And if you are working at a large organization that buys conversational AI technology, check out the Project Voice Conference that is coming up this year. It's an invitation-only event, but if you are a buyer at a prominent organization, I'm sure that invitation would be extended gladly. Anyhow, hope you all have a great week, and I will see you next time.